For our interview this week, we delve into the personal life of the Renaissance scientist Galileo Galilei by examining the largely unknown life of his daughter. Here to help us explore this fascinating side of history is Talking History's Eileen Dugan and her guest, Davis Sobel.
Ask any schoolchild about Galileo Galilei, and you'll be told about telescopes searching the heavens and cannonballs dropped from the Leaning Tower of Pisa. The life of Galileo is indeed one of the most famous tales of early modern Europe, mixing exciting discovery and perplexing tragedy, culminating in Galileo's condemnation by the Catholic Church for his loyalty to Copernicanism and his death under house arrest. We know the story, we know his discoveries and publications, but what do we know of the man? What were Galileo's own reactions to his tribulations? Joining us today to explore the world of Galileo is Ms. Davis Sobel, author of Galileo's Daughter, a historical memoir of science, faith, and love. Welcome, Ms. Sobel.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
How did you get interested in this subject?
I have always been interested in Galileo because I was an American school child myself, as you said in your introduction, and of course I'd always heard about him, and he struck me as a wonderfully romantic figure and brave for his time to defend science, even in a difficult climate. And I left it there. But while I was studying longitude for my previous book, I was reading about Galileo's efforts to solve the longitude problem, something I'd never known he'd been involved in. And during those researches, I found a letter to him from his daughter, who was a cloistered nun, and who was writing to him because the clock in her convent was broken, and she was having to fix it. And I was thunderstruck by this whole exchange, that he had children at all, because we tend to think of him as a marble bust and not as a real person. So there he had a family, and he had not only one but two daughters who were nuns. And I thought that certainly might overturn the popular impression of him as irreligious, especially because the letter had a tone of great intimacy. And these were people who wrote to each other frequently and could speak very familiarly. So I felt there's something extremely interesting here, and if she could be looked at closely, maybe the rest of her letters read, what would she say about Galileo and about his relationship to the Church?
Where did you find these documents?
I was reading a wonderful book called The Pulse of Time by Silvio Bedini, which is a scholarly type book about Galileo's science, and he had translated that piece of her letter into English and put it in his book. Later I found out that although 124 of her letters survived, they really did not exist in a complete translation in any other language. But they are published in Italy. So I started by, and fortunately for me, I had studied Italian in school, for no good reason, I might add, until now. So I started with the published version of her letters in Italian, but then I actually went to Florence and saw the originals, which was a great thrill.
What do we have from Galileo's own hand in terms of just day-to-day correspondence?
There's a great body of correspondence. Unfortunately, none of his surviving letters is addressed to any of his children. So no one has really heard the sound of his paternal voice. But he wrote a great deal to his colleagues, friends, neighbors, and he wrote eloquently on the subject of science and religion to the Grand Duchess of Tuscany. So his own feelings on these matters are there for the reading.
So who was this daughter of your title?
she was a highly intelligent, sensitive, devoted young woman who entered a convent of the Poor Clares when she was 13 years old. And she took her vows there at age 16, which meant that she would never leave the convent again, and that she devoted her life to prayer, mostly. The Poor Clares still exist today, and they are still a cloistered order.
And what name did she take?
She took the name of Maria Celeste, which is really poetic, because Galileo had already perfected the telescope during her childhood and had become world famous for his studies of the celestial realms. So I think she did that for him.
And who was her mother?
Her mother was Marina Gamba, a woman about 15 years younger than Galileo, who was his mistress for about 10 or 12 years and was the mother of all three of his children, but the two of them never married for numerous reasons. Of course, only he and she know for sure, but it's clear that she was not of his social standing and would not have made a good wife in an age when marriage was really about social connections and inheritance and not about love.
And how did Maria Celeste, as she came to be known, how did her illegitimacy affect her life?
She might well have gotten married if she had not been illegitimate. But that's hard to say. It was quite common for Italian girls of that period to enter a convent. In fact, about half of them did. So it was hardly an unusual place to be, and especially for a girl from a good family. If you were very poor, from a peasant class and uneducated, you probably could not enter a convent. So although her particular convent was poor and the conditions there were difficult for her, still, it was not altogether a bad place to be.
Why do you think Galileo was especially fond of Maria Celeste?
Because she had such a triumphant spirit, and she was so loving. He clearly comes to depend on her over the course of the correspondence. She changes progressively from a young woman who doesn't think very highly of herself to someone who gives him support and counsel and runs his affairs. Even though she's inside the convent, when he goes to Rome for the trial, she really takes over the management of his household. He designates her as the one to do that.
So how did Galileo get in trouble with the church?
He wrote about the sun-centered model of the universe after laws had been passed to prohibit the teaching of it. And he knew that those laws were in effect, but he had been very friendly with the Pope. When this particular Pope, Urban VIII, was cardinal, he and Galileo were friendly. They were about the same age, and they came from the same city, and were both well-educated men with interests in poetry and science. So they had a long-standing relationship, and Galileo went to him to get special permission to write this book that would really explore the merits of the two rival systems of the universe. And, of course, the Pope told Galileo to make it all sound hypothetical. And Galileo wrote the book. Doesn't really sound hypothetical at all. He makes an impassioned defense of the Copernican system. And the book got published. And, of course, at that period, you couldn't just publish a book the way you can today. Everything went through the church censors and licensors. And they approved it. outspoken as it was approved. But after it came out, everybody got angry, especially the Pope. And Galileo had to stand trial, and the book was banned for 200 years.
How are Galileo's struggles reflected in his correspondence with his daughter?
She bucks him up. You can always tell when he's in terrible despair, because she writes back and repeats his words and then urges the proper behavior on him, which is often prayer. And part of his punishment was to repeat the penitential psalms every week. And she took that over for him. She actually performed that part of his penance for him. And when she died, sadly for him, he outlived her. And the letters that came in from his friends, letters of condolence, all expressed the knowledge that she had been the most important person in his life, and that it was inconceivable that he could bear the loss of such a daughter.
Since Maria Celeste was a nun, didn't she have any qualms about associating with her heretic father?
That was a big question of mine at the beginning, but it becomes clear in the correspondence that she never sees him as a heretic. I mean, these were matters of interpretation. Mm-hmm. Nor do any of the other nuns at the convent see him as a heretic. They believe in his innocence, as do other highly placed members of the church. Galileo had a close friend in the Archbishop of Siena who took him in after the trial and restored him to health. This was never a monolithic case of all religious people being on one side and Galileo and other heretics being on the other. It was not at all clear-cut. And since Galileo himself considered himself a good Catholic all his life, he didn't feel there was any heresy involved in studying the structure of the universe.
What do you think is especially timeless about the story of Galileo and his correspondence with his daughter?
Well, the love between father and daughter, which is really beautifully expressed here, is timeless. Galileo's story has resonance for our time, certainly, and this is why the current Pope took steps to make a public pronouncement about Galileo, and why his name keeps coming up when we hear about school board decisions in Kansas or questions about the future of physics, the future of religion. The relationship between science and religion has been an uneasy one for centuries, which is a shame, because I agree with John Paul II that there is no fundamental reason why they should be at odds, but they should not be telling each other how to conduct their business.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Sobel.
My pleasure.
We've been talking with Ms. Dava Sobel, author of Galileo's Daughter, a historical memoir of science, faith, and love.